Good morning, everyone. I'm going to cover two topics briefly and quickly. And the first one, in 2007, a lot of folks struggled with sizing their fruit. A lot of small fruit went on the ground. And so I want to talk a little bit about the influence of spring temperatures on fruit size. And the first question I'm going to ask is, in coming up in 2008, if we have a warmer than normal spring, would we expect to have larger or smaller fruit at harvest? We would expect to have smaller fruit. Why is that? So why does a warmer spring potentially lead to smaller fruit? That's right. One comment was we have a better set. That's a very good possibility, and that certainly has part of it. But what I'm going to kind of center mostly my talk on today is the difference between fruit development and fruit size and what the drivers are for those. Now, where's my pointer? Here we go. If we talk about fruit development, or this process of the biochemical processes that occur as a fruit moves from bloom all the way through the double sigmoid growth curve and all that, and then as we get into ripeness and harvest, that is a different process than the sizing of the fruit. I mean, they're related, but they're not the same. The same but different sort of a thing. So there's actually two different drivers that drive fruit size and fruit development. I don't like this thing. Okay, so fruit development, or the speed that a fruit will go from basically a flower to a mature fruit, is primarily driven by temperature. And fruit growth, or this process of getting larger, is primarily driven is primarily dependent on the accumulation of carbohydrates. And there are competition between fruit, obviously. There's competition between the leaves, the fruits, and growing shoots. They all compete for carbohydrates. If you have a lot of very vigorous suckers in a tree or water sprouts in a tree, those compete for developing fruits for carbohydrates. And obviously, we just talked about, the more fruits that you have, the smaller the share of each that each fruit gets. So you really have two different things driving fruit size, and that would be or the competition in the tree between the fruit and the shoots and all these kinds of things for the carbohydrates, and the time that it takes to do that. So when we have a warm spring, fruit develop more quickly. And that means that we have a shorter time from bloom to ripeness, or from bloom until harvest. And so that means that each fruit has less time to accumulate these carbohydrates, and therefore it has less time to size. And we all know that if you hang fruit on a tree for an extra week, if you go through to your first pick, you have some smaller fruit that you leave behind, some greener, smaller fruit, come back a week later and pick, you know that fruit has gained quite a bit of size in a week. Well, it's the same thing all the way through the development period. So there is a process that we can do. We count growing degree hours, and growing degree hours are essentially the same. We can think of them as heat units. And the more growing degree hours we accumulate in the spring, the faster the fruit will develop. Go back. And there is a period of time that is the most critical, and is this first 30 days from bloom, and then the first 30 days after bloom have the most influence on the speed of fruit development. So anything, you know, the temperature after we have reference date has really very little to do with how soon we'll be harvesting our fruit. The biggest driver of when we're going to be harvesting our peaches occurs during that first month after bloom. So this is from data that I borrowed from Ted DeYoung, and Ted and some of his students have done quite a bit of research on this, and using data from Clink Peaches in Kingsburg and Modesto area and Yuba City, they've generated this curve right here, or this line, that shows essentially the more growing degree hours that you accumulate during this first 30 days, the shorter the period of time from full bloom to reference date. Now, it's hard, obviously, this is going to change, your full bloom to harvest changes based on variety, but using the Clean Peach, advisory board data, we can see that as the spring is warmer and we accumulate more to growing degree hours, the length of time from full bloom to reference date is much shorter. Go. So if we look at 2 years back to back, 2006 and 2007, we had a very cool spring in 2006. We had less than 5,000 growing degree hours in that first 30 days. And compare that with this year in 2007, where we had over 7,000 growing degree hours during that first 30 days. And this, if you look, bring it across this way, we would expect 15 fewer days in 2007 versus 2006 to size fruit. And that was the reason that we had small fruit this year, and last year we had gigantic fruit. There are two things. First of all, we had a very large set this year. And number two, we had a large number of growing, or we had a very warm spring. We accumulated a lot of growing degree hours. So we knew 30 days after bloom this year, we were going to have a huge problem sizing fruit. And we were telling everybody, you need to size, or you need to thin hard and thin early. So this is a real valuable tool for peach growers, obviously, because you will know by early April if you need to get in there and start thinning. Okay, so this is a little bit different. So if you look at the number of days, see, this is fruit size compared to the number of days from full bloom to reference date, and this is the same sort of, this is the same thing in a little bit different form, but the longer the time period from full bloom to reference date, the larger your fruit size will be at reference date, and then that carries through to harvest.
Roger?
Yes?
On a specific single day, what parameter are you looking at?
Say that again?
On a single day, are you looking at maximum temperature, average temperature?
Well, it's actually a very complicated formula, and it takes into consideration, well, it's not just maximum temperatures, but it's the temperatures, and it goes through a pretty complicated formula, and it comes up with the number of growing degree hours for every day.
Are those numbers listed on
a... Yeah, and you can get those numbers off of the webpage at UC Davis, and I'll show that in here in just a second. All right, I really don't like this thing. Okay, so this shows the difference between 2007 and 2008, where we had this, where there's 60 days essentially in 2007 from full bloom to reference date, where we had about 75 days from full bloom to reference date in 2006. And so this would be the difference in size that you would expect at different at reference date from 2007 to 2006. So, you know, less than 34 millimeters versus 37 millimeters at reference date. So again, we knew early on that this was going to be a very difficult year to size fruit. And this is, when you go onto the website, you can go through and accumulate your growing degree hours every day. And so this was the data for 2007. This was 2004. So 2004 actually had very, very similar number of growing degree hours 30 days after. And this is 2006. So you see, it was a very cool spring. And because of that, we had very large fruit. All right, 2007, 2004. Bloom dates, according to the association, were the same. We accumulated very similar growing degree hours. So you could expect that in your particular orchard, for your particular block, for your particular variety, you would have expected that harvest date would be pretty much the same in 2007 as it was going to be in 2004. So that could help you plan your program. Okay, so to keep track of growing degree hours, you can go to this website, fruitsandnuts.ucdavis.edu. Once you get to that website, click on Weather Services, and then you'll find the harvest prediction model there. You can click on that, and then it'll have a little table. You can enter your full bloom date for your block, or you can just use the standardized full bloom date that the association gives out. And then you can record the number of growing degree hours for that year. I'm going back. And so 6,000 growing degree hours is about average. So we expect if we get about 6,000, we'll get it's a sort of an average year. If we get up to say 7,000 growing degree hours like we did this year, we know that fruit growth is going to happen. Our fruit maturity, is going to happen very quickly. So we have less time for the fruit to hang on the tree. So we would expect smaller fruit, especially if we have big set. Now, if we go the other direction, we get 5,000 or 4,500 growing degree hours, then we know that it's going to be a very long time from bloom until harvest. So you have longer, you have more time to thin, and you can thin less. Okay, so any questions on that or comments?
What about heat in the summer?
The question, what about heat in the summer? Heat in the summer has really very little influence. Now we talk about this model that uses the first 30 days after bloom. If you bring that out to actually the first 45 days or 40 or 45 days after bloom, it's even a better predictor of when harvest will occur. But as you move from 30 days to 40 days to 50 days, there's less influence on the speed of fruit development. So, if you're harvesting Lodell's July 15 and we get a hot period that comes in the first part of July, it's really not going to have a whole lot of influence on your harvest date. It may move things up a day or two or something like that, but it's not going to have as much of an influence as these early springtime temperatures. So I'll keep track of these. If anybody in the spring they have questions or they want to call me and ask me for what our growing degree hours are, you can certainly do that. Or you can, like I said, you can do it yourself. It's a pretty useful tool.